This episode is sponsored by Jacobson Real Estate Company. Are you ready to find your dream home? Or maybe you're thinking about selling and want the best deal possible? Well, look no further. At Jacobson Real Estate Company, we make buying or selling your home smooth, stress-free, and exciting. With 50-plus years of experience and a deep knowledge of the Winona, Minnesota area market, we specialize in turning your real estate goals into reality. Whether it's finding that perfect neighborhood, negotiating top dollar for your property, or answering all of your questions along the way, we're here for you. Plus, with our personalized approach, you're not just a client, you're family. So why wait? Let Jacobson Real Estate Company open the door to your future. Call us today at 507-313-2716 or visit our website at jacobsonrealestatecompany.com. Because your next chapter starts here. Buy, sell, invest. Jacobson Real Estate Company. Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and today I have a musical treat here today. Jack Norton is joining me in the studio to talk all things music and what he loves best, and he's going to talk to us just about who he is, why he's doing what he's doing, and also some tour dates that he has as well. So, Jack, thank you for coming on in.
Thank you, Chris. I'm here just to look at your signs.
That's all you're here
and
for?
And your cars.
I love that.
I only learned to play guitar so I could get into here.
Yeah, that's what you were telling me.
It was like, I never played before.
Perfect.
I was just like, how can I get on the podcast, pretend I'm a musician?
Right.
Then I can get into the...
And you're dressed like
into
it.
Into your lair.
You even brought a guitar to fool me.
It's just, it's a prop. I don't know how to tune it.
So I have us taking down some... rye whiskey bourbon. So as long as you told me to surprise you.
I'm very happily surprised right now.
Good. I'm glad you're happily surprised.
Very
That's
happily
what I like
surprised.
To hear.
Yeah.
So you fill yourself however
oh,
much
no,
you want.
Oh, no. You do. I mean.
You want me to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go up to the first line.
Okay, that's good.
Boom. Yeah. And then.
Depending on how it goes, this could be a really great chat.
Well, you know, the thing is, I always say I sound way better when I sing karaoke when I have more.
The more you drink.
Cheers, Jack.
How do you sound?
Well, you know, it was a funny story. I mean, you just called me out of the blue one day, 2 weeks ago, and you said, hey.
That's really good. I don't want to interrupt your story.
You like this?
Yeah. It's good.
It's rye, so it's my favorite.
It's really good. Okay, I called you up.
Yeah, you called me, and it was out of the blue because I got a call from a Los Angeles number. I'm like, now who's spamming me right now? And you introduce yourself, and you're like, I've been listening, and I got some stuff I want to talk about. I got some tour dates that are going to be happening in your area. So I said, well, that's great. Come on in. Let's talk. I love anyone in all backgrounds.
Yeah.
So
no, I appreciate it. Well, it's really exciting what you're doing. I can't, like, the quality of this and the set. I mean, this everything you're doing is, like, it's amazing, especially in Winona. It's just incredible. Like,
thank you.
This is so good. I mean, If I was just scanning through YouTube, I'd be like, oh, where's this guy's in somewhere amazing? And Winona is an amazing place, but you need to get to know it. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yep.
It's incredible. It's so good. It's so awesome what you're doing for the community and
well, thank you.
Everything at large. So.
Well, I've had guys come in and talk about the history of Winona, which has always been a really fun one too.
Super cool, yeah.
But you know, the thing is, I gotta get more people to click on my stuff somehow. I don't know what I gotta do. They always said, yeah, I have better thumbnails and things like that. And I try to do the best I can with my descriptions. And
yeah.
So I'm working on it. And you have a YouTube channel, right?
We have a couple, yeah. We have three. My wife and I have one for travel vlogging,
okay,
which is kind of just it is. We have a kids one for kids music, and that has gone really, really well. That's like been surprisingly good. And then I'm building one for my music, and it's a slow burn, but I mean, it's every day another subscriber or two, which is nice. And I mean, I just started it a couple months ago, so I mean, it's, you know, that's my big focus right now is that one.
Okay. Yeah. And you said that your children's one's going really well. What is that called?
It's called the Zing Hoppers, ZingHoppers, the Zing Hoppers Kids Music and Learning. So if you type in Zing Hoppers on YouTube, you'll find us. But my wife was a preschool teacher for years, has a background in early childhood education.
Okay.
I started playing. She would say, hey, just bring your guitar. The kids will love it. And so I would go to her preschool and we would take, like, I grew up on old 1920s, 1930s, 1940s blues, jazz, old honky-tonk, like, classic country. That's my jam. So, like, I would take those songs, and instead of singing, you know, Folsom Prison Blues, we'd be doing like Learn Your Colors, Numbers, Ones and Twos, or whatever, you know what I mean? And so like, but it always had the beat and the excitement level that kids like. And so that's kind of how the show was born. She made these little sock puppets, and then I would play the music. And so, yeah, we did that for years, and then we moved down to Nashville. We're from Minnesota. I went to school here 20 years ago.
In Winona?
In Winona, okay. Yeah. We're both from Minneapolis. And then moved to Winona, failed out of school, went to Nashville, lived there for about 15 years, and we did music full-time down there. And that's where we really did the kids thing. We got hooked up with the PBS affiliate down there, so we did little shows for we had a series on PBS Kids down there. And then we moved back here a few years back, and now are just starting back up in music. I mean, I've been making music my whole life, and then at the start of the pandemic, we had 200 some shows cancel all in the course of a week. Like, we do a ton of live gigs, and so everything just got canceled in the course of a week. And so I've been slowly kind of getting back into the swing of things, and now I'm just, this is all I do full time again, is just music. Oh, so
that sounds awesome, because I assume it's your passion.
Oh yeah, I love it. I mean, this is all I've ever done my whole life.
So if you get to do this full time, that's exciting.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's really fun.
Now, where did the Los Angeles phone number come from? Did you live there?
Very brief. I mean, I can't really say we lived there. It was for a few months while we were filming something. So, I mean, if you want to call that living there.
You got
there,
a cell phone there.
Yeah. I mean, I've had so many different, like, we lived in Tulsa for a while. We lived in Nashville. We lived in Iowa City. We lived in New York. We lived in Vermont. Lived in Paris. But there's no place like Winona.
Really? So well, you heard that here, people.
I might pick Paris over Winona, just maybe.
Well, you know, sometimes Winona doesn't get the credit it's due sometimes with how actually awesome our place is. Like, if you grew up here, a lot of people go, oh, I got to get out and, you know, go do the big town or big time thing. And then all of a sudden you're like, huh, wait a second, this wasn't so bad. And people that come here that aren't from here usually say, this place is amazing.
Yeah, so. No, it's a great. I mean, it's a great. I mean, we could have lived in, I mean, we wanted to come back to Minnesota, and we could have lived in Minneapolis, but things are crazy, and it's, you know, there's crime. I mean, there's no crime here really to speak of, and it's not chill, and rent is almost half the cost of Minneapolis, and we have pretty much everything we need. Plus, I play so much in the cities that I can go up there. I mean, up there once a week anyways. So
you do a lot of gigs up in the cities then?
A ton.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you got some tour dates here we'll talk about later in the episode.
Yeah.
So now then you said you have two other channels. One's a traveling one.
We got the travel blog, and then the kids channel, and then my like old time music stuff.
Okay.
So those are the three.
So when you talk about old time music, you kind of gave us the decades, but what is your what is your genre, or is there multiple genres?
No, that's a great question. I mean, I was a total weirdo when I was a kid, and I found my grandpa's collection of old records, like the old 78s. They're like before 33s, before 45s, there were 78s, and they were 10-inch discs printed on shellac, 1890s through about 1940 or so.
1890s.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. So that's what I grew up on, is his collection of music. So, like, that's what was normal to me as a kid. Like, I never listened to, I mean, I was like, never listened to any pop anything. And so I just was raised on that. And you're like way too young to know, but Tiny Tim, do you know who that is? The like weirdo with the ukulele?
I've heard of Tiny Tim. Okay, yeah, because he sang Over the Rainbow.
No, he did Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Okay, maybe that's what.
Yeah, and
he's
sang
a
scary
one on TikTok.
It's pretty terrifying. Yeah, that's, you know, the guy. Yeah, yeah, that's.
Yep. Okay.
So I think it was in a horror movie. He's been in like horror movies, like the soundtrack of horror movies. So he was my neighbor growing up in the cities. So, like, I lived across the street from him, so I learned old-time music from him. And so I guess when I say old-time music, like, my passion or my favorite eras, 1920 through 1940, 45 or so.
That's not really a decade of music where I can go, oh, yeah, you remember that guy? Like,
yeah.
You know it, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But where music kind of starts, I think, for a lot of us is probably in the 50s when you start hearing about Elvis.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. And then all of a sudden things just kind of took off.
Yeah.
So when you talk about that era, who are some of the big names that you listen to and like?
Well, I mean, there's some guys you probably like. Bing Crosby started in that era. And so, but he was around, I think he had hits. I swear there was some crazy statistic, like he had a hit in seven decades, something pretty insane. Like, he had a long career, but I love, you know, Bing Crosby. There's old blues guys. There's, you know, like Robert Johnson, Blind Blake, Blind Lemon Jefferson. These are like old 1920s, like the first generation of blues guys. All the guys that Elvis was listening to become Elvis, sure, is kind of what I love. And the same with country. I mean, the earlier country guys, there was a guy named Jimmy Rogers who was in the 1920s, and he was pretty influential on Elvis. And so, like, I love Elvis. Actually, the reason I learned how to play guitar was seeing Chuck Berry at the Minnesota State Fair, and I was like, that's what I need. I heard Johnny Be Good, and I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. I need to do that. And then I just slowly kind of went back and was like, well, when he was a kid, what was he listening to? What kind of, and same with Buddy Holly or any of those guys, they all were listening to that era. And so I think it's really fun to see the connection, or the kind of like the thread, that there's a thread in pop music where you can, I mean, there are verses. God, what was that song? There was a song, the Cups song. Remember the Cups song that everybody was doing on TikTok? The like, all the girls on TikTok were doing like the Cups, where it was from that, what was that
movie? I can't say I can remember it.
You definitely know it. It's the song that was in, what's that a cappella movie with the girls?
Oh, gosh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
That movie, there was a song called Cups, and it's like they played, if you just, you'll see.
Oh, I think I heard
it. You know what I mean? They like flip the cups on tables.
Yeah, okay.
The lyrics, there's like a lyrical line to that that dates back to like the 1870s, but nobody today can like connect those dots. I mean, a lot of people can, but it's not popular. But maybe I'm just a nerd and I love things like that. But I love seeing the connections between all that stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Even in Winona here, there was a band called Schnickelfritz.
Schnickelfritz.
And they were huge. Like in the 1930s, they made 200 records. They were one of the most paid acts in Hollywood. They used to play up in the cities, but they grew up and were from Winona. Their first record is a song called the Winona Waltz, and then the flip side is the Sugarloaf Waltz. Oh. And it's like they're all Winona. Like they played all over here. They used to play in the Oddfellows building, which is like on 3rd. It's right across from the bank on 3rd and Lafayette, right across from the Lafayette, that building. Yep. They used to play on the top floor of that building, and they're just this huge, they were like this kind of novelty jazz band where they like built all their own instruments. And the leader was, his name is Freddie Fisher, and he lived here in Winona, and he was like nuts. I mean, he used to like huff paint and go crazy and play his clarinet. He was like this crazy old guy. And he built all his own instruments. Like he built this like musical washboard that had all these bells and bike horns, and he had a tuned set of cowbells, and they were like huge in Winona, like in the 30s. So.
And what was her name? Schnickelfritz?
Schnickelfritz. Gosh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sounds like something you'd say if you hit your thumb with a hammer or something. Yeah, like exactly. That.
There's a lot of old timers. I've met some old, like I've played over at the athletic club, and there's some old timers that'll come up and be like, oh yeah, yeah, I remember, like, which is cool. It's really, I love seeing history come alive like that. It's super neat. So
when you do your music, the older people come up and go, I remember that.
Or maybe that's what my parents used to sing.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, and that's kind of cool taking someone back in time because usually, you know, you get to a lot of these bands that play, and they're playing kind of the same stuff that every other band would play. You hear these cover bands, but then you go back and you're like 1920s, 30s, 40s. Who the heck is that?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you start playing. Now you told me just a little bit ago there. You said you found records from the 1890s in your grandpa's collection.
Yeah.
Who was that? Who would that have been?
Oh God.
Do you even know the name?
I don't even remember. I mean, he had hundreds of records. There was just maybe even a couple thousand records up in the attic, and I just started digging. And like, I mean, there were some that were like kind of classical or opera, kind of boring, you know what I mean, as a kid. But then there were like these weird, I mean, it was such a weird time because in the night, like especially like that era up until about the 50s, I'd say, it was really hard for anyone to record. The technology just didn't exist. So like the labels were gatekeepers, but there were no rules really, you know what I mean? So record labels would try anything. If you look at the like, I mean, I'm a real nerd. I didn't know we would get this honed in on being nerdy. But if you look at like who was recording on a session day for like a label, it would be like a mariachi band, a Dixieland jazz band, an Italian opera singer, some old like blues guy from deep down in Mississippi, and they would all be playing, they would all be recording for the same label at the same time.
Oh gosh.
And it was just like, I think labels were just trying to, it was such a new technology, they were trying to like throw everything against the wall and see what stuck. And I love, there's some real weird kind of, like the other day I actually found a record. Do you know what a theremin is? Have you ever seen those?
Nope.
It's the only instrument in the world. If you look up a theremin, it's like, it, I don't exactly know the technology behind it, but basically it's the only instrument in the world where you don't touch it at all to make noise. And it's just two, it's like, it works on energetic frequencies. There's like,
okay,
it's like a radio, but it works with your body's natural. There's like a no, I think the pitch is this way and the volume is this way. There's like these two rods in a little box, and you you just go like this, and it makes like a lot of that like 1950s, 1960s, you know, the like really bad like horror movies where it's like, that noise, that's a theremin. And you're just going, if you watch people do it, they just go like this, and like they don't ever touch the instrument. It's just your body's energetic something. But I found like an old record from the 30s or 40s maybe of that. Like literally it was in a junk store like two blocks from here.
Oh, sure.
Or in a, somebody's ad, like in a, not a junk store, but like a garage sale. Like, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And it's like, you find things like that all the time. You know what I mean? You collect cars. Thankfully, I collect things that are a lot cheaper. So 10 cents, 25 cents.
Records.
Records. People get like, Daryl at Chapter 2 is like giving me records because they're such crap to him. And he's just like, nobody wants these. And I'm like,
I do.
So, I mean, like, I drive my wife crazy with the record collection, but I'm not probably spending as much money as your car collection.
Not if you're getting it for a dime or a quarter. No, you're right. Not even close.
I really envy your collection, but I'm thankful. Like, it's incredible. This place is amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, and, you know, when it comes to music, you know, you were talking about the record label and they're just kind of throwing music genres against the wall, see what would stick. That'd be like, in my mind, here's what I think. I go to the 90s rap scene because that's what I was into. That'd be like having a country artist on Death Row or something that, or Britney Spears on Death Row Records.
No, it's totally like that. I so loved funny. Hearing that you like Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yes, yeah.
I love him.
You.
Lesbian Seagull.
I've never heard, gosh, I gotta say, I don't think I've ever heard that.
Really?
Is it the one that's on Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah, he did a cover of it. You haven't heard it?
Fly, Lesbian Seagulls.
He did it.
I gotta listen to that now. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah, you need to listen to it. Okay. So, and he plays it totally straight. It's like, I think it's on the Beavis and Butthead like soundtrack album.
Is it really?
I'm pretty sure. I think his version is on the soundtrack album.
No,
I gotta totally, there's no irony. It's not funny. It's just he's singing completely straight Lesbian Seagull. It's so good. It's like,
what's the meaning of that song? Do you know?
I mean, I think that a lot of seagulls are lesbians.
That's
actually, like, I think the guy that wrote it, I remember like watching an interview with Mike Judge, who's the guy that, you know, he created Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill and all that. I love Mike Judge. And I remember watching an interview and he was talking about how like some guy in the 70s wrote a song, like there was like some Harvard study or some like some Ivy League egghead study about the mating habits of seagulls, and it turns out that they're all like the majority of them are lesbians. And so this dude wrote a song called Lesbian Seagull, and then like Judge like put it in Beavis and Butthead, and it kind of became this whole thing.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, like, I think he's a fan of Humperdinck and was like, hey, will you record this for the soundtrack? Like, it's so good.
People don't even really know who he is except for through me. Usually they're like, what's that Humper guy's name that you like? And I'm like, Engelbert Humperdinck. He was big time.
He was so, big time.
Yeah. And he's still alive.
Yeah. I didn't know he was still alive. Yeah. I had to Wikipedia that. When you talked about him, I was like, God, is that guy still alive? Yep. He's like the kind of guy when you go to Goodwill and you go through the vinyl, there's always a Lawrence Welk record, and Engelbert Humperdinck record, like no fail.
My grandparents used to love Lawrence Welk.
Yeah, he was great. He's from North Dakota, I think.
I have no idea.
Pretty sure he's from North Dakota.
I just know that I had photos of me dancing to it when I was a little kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I think in a diaper. So, like, that's how and they liked it because there was, like, a TV show on all the time.
Yeah, the TV show was great.
Grandparents used to pop it on, and I used to guest dance to Lawrence Welk. So, there's that. But, Engelbert Humperdinck is one of those. He's one of my favorites.
That's amazing.
It really is because I started listening to him when I was, like, 16. Yeah. And I heard the last waltz.
Well, if you were into Death Row and Engelbert, then you're doing fine.
Yeah.
You got both sides of the coin there.
I got every side. And then the boy bands, too. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like all types of music and stuff of that nature. So when, you know, you reached out to me, I looked up your music, and I'm like, wow, you never hear this played anymore.
Yeah.
I would never have been like, hey, where can I go find this music to listen to?
Yeah, yeah.
So is it you obviously, I saw your website, and we'll go over that in a little bit, but I saw you have a lot of tour dates coming up. So how are you, do you just call them up and say, hey, are you looking for this, or do they call you up, or how does that work?
It's a little bit of both, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the majority of the things I play are like bars, brew pubs, wineries.
Sure.
The more you drink, the better I sound places.
Take it back.
On that note,
I have a swig of rye whiskey.
But no, I mean, I play a lot of, you know, a lot of those kind of venues.
Yep.
I do play a lot of little theaters or little performing arts centers from time to time. And so, I mean, I'll contact them, especially if I'm, like, if I know I'm going through, so, like, if I'm driving all the way up to Duluth, I'll try to find something on the North Shore. So, you know what I mean?
Yes,
to kind of make it make sense. So I guess that's a large part of it. I'd say maybe half are me contacting them, and then the other half are them contacting me, which is great. Because
how do they hear about you then? Do they go onto your website, or are they listening to your YouTube?
I think so. I mean, maybe, like, I think because just the nature of the internet, like, I personally kind of hate all social media a lot, but I kind of have to do it just for the job. And I think people hear, like, they see who's playing at what place, or if I'm playing at another venue that's similar to theirs. I think all the bar owners and stuff kind of know each other, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And kind of talk and see what works and stuff. And so,
well, I can't imagine, and this is just me unknowingly, know there can't be much competition for that type of music, I wouldn't think, nowadays.
No, I mean, I think I get kind of grouped into, like, folk or acoustic,
okay,
for lack of better words. And it's like, if it's a venue that just books singer-songwriters or just folk music, they'll book me because, like, because I'm a guy with a guitar, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So, like,
okay.
So I guess there is some competition, but, I mean, if it's, what's funny is, like, I've done one tour specific in Europe with the music. I mean, I've been there several times, but, like, in the UK, especially Germany, Italy, and the UK, they're crazy about, like, old time, like, this era of music. So I'm already now starting to book a tour back in April of next year, and going to be going to the UK for 3 weeks. And that's, like, they contacting us, which is, it's awesome. Like, that's so thankful for it.
That sounds really, like, that's got to make you feel really good when someone contacts you.
And then it's so nice.
Somewhere else in the
right.
world.
Right.
Like, it's super. What, you're contacting me, that's got to make you feel so good.
It makes you feel really good.
Yeah. So so then you're going over for a three-week tour.
Yeah.
That's really neat. Yeah. And so when you're in the States, what are the places that contact you the most? Is it like a brew pub then, or
Yeah, typically. I mean, it's typically like bars or breweries or things. A lot of, like, it's really neat because, like, it feels like in the last maybe 10 years, every small town has a couple of really cool, like breweries that have popped up. You know what I mean?
And I know, they're everywhere.
They're everywhere, and it's awesome. Like, I mean, even in Decorah, there's, like, several really awesome specific breweries. And so I think they just kind of, I don't know. It's just a really, it feels like a sort of a renaissance that's been happening.
Sure.
I don't know if it's just a Midwest thing. I guess I've mainly been aware of it within the Midwest, but I think those little breweries are really super neat. And
I love them. I like their themes and stuff of that nature. So what ones do you like playing at the most? Is there one that you're like, oh man, when they contact me, I like this style venue?
Well, I mean, it's weird because, like, I played right up until the pandemic went crazy, like we were doing around 200 to 250 shows up until 2020.
Wow.
And then I think we had 223 shows or something like that booked for 2020. And within the course of a week, all of them got canceled. Like all 100, like we just saw our income be like, that's over. Like that was a good run. And so we pivoted like greatly and we realized, hey, we've traveled all over. I've played in 48 states. We've been to multiple countries. My wife and I were like, we have to do something. Let's start a travel blog. And so we started a travel blog. We actually started publishing travel guidebooks. We just put all of our kind of accumulated knowledge of this, not towards music, but like, I mean, I've been booking hotels and booking like car rentals. What are tips and tricks to get the best deals and all that stuff? And we just like, even though it was like everyone was home, what was crazy was it was like writing about travel and doing a travel blog at that time was actually a really great thing. So we basically lived on that for the last 3.5 or 4 years, was just travel blogging. And now we still have the travel blog, but it's like got to a point where it's monetized. We have an advertising partner and it just kind of, it's kind of running itself. My wife only has to write a couple articles a week. I don't have to do anything for it anymore. So I'm just starting playing now. So like I've been gone from playing music since 2020. And so, I mean, the only shows I played this year have been overseas. And now I'm starting up literally this weekend is my first round of shows back
in America,
in America since 2020, which is pretty crazy. So like, long story short, asking my favorite venue, I don't have any.
Sure.
I haven't played any in
been a while.
Years. Yeah. I mean, there's places that are super fun to play. That, and there's towns that are, what's funny is like, everybody's like, oh, when you go up to the cities, it's so awesome. And it's actually kind of not nearly as fun as playing in Winona or driving out and playing in Albert Lea or Austin or New Ulm. Cause it's like a lot of people don't come through that neck of the woods. And it's like, when you play here, people are really grateful. And even smaller towns, I mean, there's some like really cool little towns in the middle of nowhere that have been the best audiences ever that I just love. So I like playing in smaller towns, you know, better than the cities or Chicago.
Well, sometimes you're limited to, you know, where you're going to go listen to live music. You go up to the cities, there's probably live music at damn near every bar.
Totally.
So you come to a small town, like, hey, Jack Norton's in town. Let's go listen to him.
Wow, he must.
Yeah, he must be killing
he's
it.
Great.
Yeah. And now you said you had played in 48 states. What are the two that you have in Hawaii and Alaska? Or
Alaska and Maine.
Alaska and Maine.
Yeah, played in Hawaii, but not Maine.
Where about in Hawaii?
Just in Honolulu, just for, I mean, just a couple shows.
No, that's cool, though.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, never played. We lived in Vermont, too, for a while and wanted to. I went to Maine, but never played there. So
really?
Yeah.
I would have said Hawaii and Alaska just because they're the furthest away.
Yeah.
But Maine, okay. You played in every other state, though.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
that's impressive. And now I can see why you would have a travel blog as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because we would do, like, you know, we would do, with the kids' music channel, we do kids' gigs. Like, my wife will come along. She does puppets. I play guitar, and she does all the little voices and stuff. And those are gigs for preschoolers. So we do those at, like, 10 in the morning, maybe at 1 o'clock. We have to work around nap time and all that. So we'll do, like, in an ideal world, we would go to, like, you know, a town like Winona, play at the library, play at a school, play at a preschool or something at like 10 in the morning, hang out, go thrifting, junking, whatever, and then go play a bar that night. Sure. And there's never any conflict. So it's kind of like doubling our income and doubling our everything because, like, it's totally two different crowds. And it's fun because, like, we got to, you know, we get to travel together and, you know,
it's pretty nice. Awesome.
So we're starting to kind of ease out of the kids thing and just instead of that being such a huge part of our like live events, we're realizing that we can actually reach more people just through YouTube. So we've been way more focused on YouTube with the kids stuff. And then,
so when you're doing all these shows, your main, obviously the main times is on the weekends, right? But are you playing them during the week too?
Yeah, sometimes.
Is there night shows during the week?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, there's much going on.
Not as much. I mean, usually it's like Wednesday through Friday or Wednesday through Saturday, Thursday through Sunday kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, I can usually find like work then. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. I want to talk about your website because I had it pulled up and I actually thought it was actually quite cool.
Thanks.
Here's why I say that.
Yeah.
I'm looking on the like the menu portion that says tip jar. That's hilarious.
Well, you know, because if some drunk asks for a like, hey, play some Hank Williams and I do it and they don't have cash anymore. People at bars don't, they have Venmo. So like,
Yeah, and I saw, that's what I said. I see Venmo, PayPal, and Cash App. I'm like, great idea, tip jar. So if you want to tip you, you can just go around the website and tip you.
It worked. I've had people tip me, and I haven't even, I don't even, like, I haven't played a gig. There's been a couple of times, like, in, I put that up, and there's been a couple of times where we just, I mean, it's not a lot of money, but it's like, hey, there's $5 for no reason. Cool. Great.
I need to start doing this.
You should do it. Yeah. I mean, I bet you people would. I mean.
And then I was looking at another part of your website. It's kind of cool. Mercantile.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. What is the mercantile then? What's that part of your website?
Well, I mean, it takes you to two different places. We've got a bookstore for all of our, like, travel guides. We still sell those and publish those and stuff. And then we have, like, digital albums. So
that's cool. Yeah, yeah. Now, can you find all your stuff on, like, iTunes and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
That's great. Now, is that easy to do?
It's pretty easy, yeah. I mean, it's gotten a lot easier. I mean, I started making, I mean, I was doing gigs. It's funny because I'm playing at the High and Low in 2 weeks here, and the last time I played here was, like, in college, like, it was like 20-some years ago, so it's, like, crazy. It feels kind of weird to be going back, but, like, I mean, it was a lot harder back in the day to, like, 20 years ago, release music and get it distributed, and now it's super easy to get things distributed, and what's hard is the discoverability. That's what's really tough for people, because there's so, I mean, basically everything that's ever been recorded is on Spotify.
Sure, sure.
So it's hard to, like, rise up from there, you know what I mean?
But when you publish something onto, like, iTunes or Spotify, how does it, I guess, I know how it works for the podcast, I got that, but how does it work for the music portion then? Do you have to, like, have some, you have to have something special to say, yep, this is my original stuff, it's not from somebody else?
Yeah, you do. I mean, we go through a company called DistroKid, which is basically an aggregator. It's a distribution aggregator, so anybody can sign up. It's free to sign up, I think, pretty sure. And, like, you put out an album, and if it's 10 songs of original tunes, you just upload it. A day or two later, they've sent it everywhere. Like, it's on iTunes, it's on, you know, Spotify, it's on Amazon Music, it's on YouTube Music. It just goes out.
Yep.
If there's a cover song, like, if I wanted to record a Britney Spears song, Engelbert Humperdinck song.
Yes.
If I was going to record Lesbian Seagull tomorrow, which probably won't happen, but you never know.
You never know.
Depends on how much of this we drink.
We'll shoot the music video here.
Yeah. If we do a fire version of Lesbian Seagull, who knows? But either way, we, you know, you have to pay, I think it's like $12 a year. Oh, and that goes to the songwriter. So, like, you could do, that's why a lot of people do cover songs for discoverability. Like,
sure.
Just if you're a fan of Taylor Swift, you might want to listen to other people sing Taylor Swift songs. And all you have to do is pay $12 a year, and that's it. And then it goes everywhere. So that's how it works. I mean, Spotify, I think the payment is, I want to get it right, it's like 0.00003 cents per stream. So, like, when somebody listens to a song, you're making no money. Like, absolutely.
Oh, that's how much you would make?
That's how much we would make.
Holy, like, shit.
Yeah, no, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. I mean, you, even if you had, even, I think, oh God, I don't want to do the math and butcher it, but I feel like a million streams, you make like $100 or so. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like non-existent.
Wow.
It's horrible. Like, that's, it's just tough. Horrible. I mean,
do you ever miss the days when, remember, a record would come out and everyone's like lining up at Target to go get the CD?
I do.
I remember that. I'd be looking at, like, the Best Buy ads. I'm like, oh, who just came out with a new album?
Totally.
And you have to watch, like, TRL to see what's up. And then they show, like, a 1 minute clip of it. And gosh, those were the days.
Those were the days. And to, like, have to listen through a full album was fun, even if you didn't like all, and having the artwork was
that too,
super fun. But
see, I like to listen, and I've said this on multiple podcasts, I like to listen to the other songs other than the hit songs.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm listening to or buy an album, usually I'll listen to all the other songs that are not, I've already heard the hit one so many darn times.
Totally.
Now I want to listen to the other ones that are on there, and I'll find something I'm like, this is a hidden gem. This is even better than the hit song.
Yeah, no, I know. It's,
but it wasn't for the radio. You got to play what the radio will play.
Well, and I mean, a lot of those, like, at that level, so many decisions are made by, like, managers, record companies, publicists, marketing directors, agents. But, and it's like, I think the tracks that are kind of deeper are, like, actually the artists being able to do their art. You know what I mean?
Yep,
and it's not so commercial. And so, yeah, I miss those days.
Do you have an agent at all, or are you the agent?
I mean, not...
You and your wife?
I mean, it's basically my wife for the most part. We've got a couple people that are more like mentors, I'd say.
Okay.
That we can like run things through. I've got specifically somebody that's helping us with YouTube, somebody that's helping us with music, somebody that's helping us with filmmaking. And so those, like, those three people I would look at. I mean, I'm not paying a cut of like what I'm doing. It's more of like a mentorship thing. And I'm really grateful for that. But like, it's basically Kitty, my wife.
Sure.
Just
you two.
Yeah.
The duo.
I don't feel like I'm big enough to have a man. I mean, I'm not making enough money for anybody who want 10% or 30% even.
Tom, I can't afford that. I only get 0.00003 cents each stream.
Yeah, let's wait a little bit. I need every percent I can get.
Now, I got a question because I'm also looking at Jack's family tree.
Yeah.
Is this your family tree?
Musically speaking.
Yes. Okay. So my next question was going to be, do you come from a musical family?
I do. Yeah. My dad is a musician. My grandpa was actually a radio host down in Texas. And my great grandpa actually found a picture of him like full on like vaudeville, like in 1917, he used to play like vaudeville theaters in New York and was like a song and dance man, like tap dancer, guitar player.
Sure.
Like, so I guess, yeah, it's been my whole life.
Question, what is considered vaudeville?
I mean, it's a great question. I mean, basically it was kind of a variety show it was in theaters, and it would be in cheap little theaters or it'd be in huge, awesome Broadway spectacle theaters. And it was basically like a series of 10 to 15 acts, and each act would do, I mean, the bottom of the bill people might do 5 or 10 minutes, the top bill might do 20 or 30 minutes, but it was a total variety show. Like somebody would come out and yodel, Alpine Swiss yodeling, then somebody would come out and play the accordion, then there'd be like guys juggling, then there'd be a magician. I mean, people, even like Harry Houdini was a huge vaudevillian, Charlie Chaplin did vaudeville, Laurel and Hardy did vaudeville, those kind of people did it. But then there would also be like, you know, singers and bands. And it was just like a kind of a, it was just American. It was kind of like flipping through TV or TikTok.
Sure. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just like swiping, but on a stage.
You never knew what you're going to get.
Yeah. Next. You never know what you're going to get. And it was kind of just a variety show of puppeteers and people walking on fire and just doing crazy stuff. Like, yeah.
Okay, so. Now I know, because I was always wondering. I've heard that term used before, but I didn't know what that actually meant.
Yeah, it was like, it was kind of, I'd say, I might be getting the dates slightly wrong, but like really, the roots of it were like late 1800s, but it really exploded like around the turn of the century, like 1900s through about 1920s. And then radio came. And it kind of killed it. Like, it was like, it definitely, when people realized, oh, we can save money, turn on the radio and kind of hear the same thing.
Sure.
That really killed it. And then when TV came, it was just over. It was.
I wonder what they would think nowadays, what we all have. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Nowadays, you have a music video pops up on YouTube, like, oh, this artist made a music video out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Or I'm about to release an album. Because, like I was telling you, we used to look forward to, like, oh, so-and-so is releasing their album this date. Nowadays, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, this Friday, a new song's coming out. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that.
Right.
It doesn't build the anticipation. So I'm going to look at this then. And so these are... Are these your favorite artists?
Yeah, or I mean, like, we just wanted to do something kind of goofy. And the genealogy page on our website is just like all the people I love and listen to. And it's a whole, I mean, there's, you know, weird country singers and comedians and jazz singers and blues musicians and just crazy stuff. It's just, I mean, it's more for, you know, I remember, you know, growing up, it's like we were talking, like, I was obsessed with the idea of who was Buddy Holly listening to, who was Elvis listening to, who was Chuck Berry listening to. And then when you find out those guys, then who were those guys listening to? I think that's super interesting.
Yep.
And not that anyone gives a crap what Jack Norton is listening to, but I think it's, I don't know, I just like the idea of it. And it just felt like something to stand out and be different and keep people on our website a little bit longer. And
that's pretty cool, though. I like that, because I'm looking at all this, what kind of like, makes you who you are and why you listen to it with it.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of, I was noticing a lot of the ones that you have on here are a lot of African Americans.
Yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of blues stuff, a lot
Love
of jazz stuff.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, if I recall, that's kind of where jazz was more of an African American
totally.
Type music.
Yeah.
And now every time I want to listen to smooth jazz, everyone laughs at me when I say, "Hey, Alexa, play smooth jazz," because I like that. It's just relaxing
yeah.
in my
yeah.
mind. But I know the jazz back then was a little bit more upbeat from what,
yeah,
what the
rowdy.
People you have. So yeah,
yeah,
it's kind of rowdy. Nowadays, I put it on just as something for background music.
Totally.
And everyone laughs at me. So
don't let them laugh at
bastards.
You.
Bastards.
No, there's good. I mean, there's good stuff. Like, yeah, I mean, it's. I really do love the old like blues and old jazz, and the history of jazz is super fascinating, and just the like mixture of, there was so much culturally happening when that was created. I mean, there was, you know, even you can hear, it's not just black people, you can hear the like fiddle tunes of Ireland or Scotland, that stuff influencing jazz. But then you hear the African, like actual from Africa. The banjo is an African instrument. All of the drums, the approach on how they played the drums was very like based in like African tradition.
Sure.
Then there's even like a whole like cultural scene. Like my wife is half Jamaican, and so there's a whole like Caribbean scene of like how the Caribbean influenced that, and it kind of all came together. And even gospel music, all of that kind of came together in New Orleans in the teens, like 1915, 1917, that like was like really the birthplace. And there was this, God, I forget the name of the square. There's this square, you can go there in New Orleans now, and it's like back in the day in like the 1800s, all the slaves would be let off on Sunday afternoons, and they would all go hang out on this one square and just sing and do chants and blues songs and play. And like, they always say that that kind of that's like the birthplace of jazz, and everything is kind of gone out from there. So it's a super interesting, like, it's such an American thing. Like, it could have only happened in America with all of the everything that was going on at the time. You know what I mean? So it's super fascinating.
Well, I always told kids, because I had it when I was a teacher, I had to teach American history, and I always told everyone, I said, America was like a giant melting pot.
Totally.
Because there's no such thing really as like you're only Northern American or
right.
North American.
Right.
There was European, there's African, there's every, well, and then that's where all these ideas come from, where you have all this music that all of a sudden it started here, but then this person added that in, and all of a sudden you got a whole different thing.
Totally.
Because really, I mean, pop music wasn't really pop music back then that we think of.
No.
There was only so many genres, and now they break them down into subgenres. You're like, holy cow.
Yep.
So now another thing I noticed is you have a podcast.
I do.
Okay.
I made it to episode 3.
Perfect. How long has it been out for? Like,
I mean, 3 weeks.
Perfect. There's always a starting point. I mean, I started January 1st of 2024. So.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so every week once.
You're weekly, right?
I'm weekly, every Monday.
Wow.
So you'll be out this coming, well.
And you've been video and audio this whole time, right?
Yep.
Gosh, that's crazy.
Well, I always figured I should have the visual because I have a really cool visual. And then audio is how I would always listen to a podcast.
Right.
Never visual, but I do notice that a lot of people like to watch it. So
For
whatever reason.
It's weird, yeah. I only listen to audio podcasts. I listened to your podcast that just came out yesterday or today. Did it come out?
It's
today?
Technically today.
Today,
which
okay. Well, I listened to it today. Am I supposed to pretend it's not today, tomorrow, next week?
So yeah, this episode will come out on the right now. It's the 15th, so this one just came out. So you'll be out on the next one, which is the 22nd.
Okay, whenever. Yeah. I am in this current time, whatever the, okay. No, but today's episode was great, and I was listening to it, and I was like, he's talking to a mannequin, what the heck? And I like pulled up YouTube, and it's like, oh, okay, got it. And then I like jumped back to Apple, and it's like, it's weird because I don't watch podcasts ever. It's so weird. And it's like, but people apparently like watching podcasts. So
shout out to the few viewers out there. But yeah, it's funny because I do have a buddy that always said he like, if he doesn't know who I'm interviewing, because a lot of them are like friends, so they know him, but they'll tune in, watch a little few minutes of it just to get an idea of who this person is.
Yeah.
And then they listen to it when they're like mowing lawn or something like that or shoveling.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's
and
weird.
I get that too, because anytime I'm listening to someone's too that I don't know. Like, you probably heard, I listen to like a lot of Joe Rogan, Thea Vaughn. If I don't know who they are, I'll watch a clip quick, and then I understand who's actually talking to them, or they have a photo of them on there. So that's kind of nice. So then, what's your podcast about?
I mean, it's Jack Norton's Old Time Radio Show.
Okay.
And so basically, I'm just spinning old 78 shellac records from the 1920s and 1930s, and I'm just taking records from my collection it's totally just freestyle. I'll just grab records off the shelf and just play them and talk.
That's awesome.
I've started adding some bad dad jokes. I'm starting next week to take listener mail, and I'm going to help listeners through songs. So if somebody comes to me with a problem, I'll find a record that if they listen to the lyrics, they'll be able to fix their problem through the lyrics of the song. So that's what it is.
That's
right,
great.
So it's just a half an hour weekly show. It is okay. Video and audio.
Sure. Well, and you know, I noticed it looks like it's old school visual. So I assume you're using filters and stuff of that nature to make it look old school, or is it actually an old school camera?
I mean, I have old school cameras, but
a little easier if you just do it this way.
It's a little easier.
I've got a good question here, because I'm not big into records. Now I know the numbers mean the RPMs, right?
Yeah, like 33 and a third will go around.
Yeah.
33 and a third times.
So why are
78s go.
Okay, so why are some of them faster and some of them slower then? Do you know the reason? I don't know.
I don't know the reason why, but I know that I couldn't tell you exactly, but I know that the slower down, when they slowed it down, they realized they could fit more music.
Okay.
And that's why, like, it started with 78s and they were like 10 inch, like, brittle. They're made on shellac, they're really breakable.
Okay.
They're like, they look like like you should throw them in the air and shoot them. Like frisbee, like just crap.
Clay pigeons.
Yeah, like you can, like, they're super break, like brittle. They're okay. Like, they just fall apart in your hands. So that's what I love is that. So those were up until the end of World War II. And then they introduced 45s, which are smaller. And those go around 45 and they could make them smaller, but it was about the same. It was like 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes. And then they realized, like, oh, we should slow it down to 33 and a third. We can fit, like, a full album. Like, we can have 5-6 songs on each side, flip it over, all that. So I don't know why that is or exactly, but I should know. I know kind of in my head, but I don't know. I can't communicate it.
That's all good.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a YouTube video out there that would explain it all to us.
I'm sure there's somebody that'll.
So do you put your music on actual records then too?
I have. I mean, I have in the past. Yeah, it's super fun. I've released two different records. I mean, vinyl, like there's a place in Nashville that I've gone through that makes these. Like there's a lot of places now that'll make records, but there's a place called United Record Press in Nashville, and they've been pressing records since the 40s, I think.
Cool.
And it's super cool. So you like send them your stuff and then they like press a test pressing and you get this like test pressing in the mail and then you have to go listen to it to make sure it sounds good. And you have to EQ the record to, I actually worked with like an audio engineer to help me EQ it because the bass, there's like, I'm not a technical person at all, but there's like certain frequencies you have to kind of cap it at, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like on both sides to like make it sound good on vinyl. And so I've done two of those. And then there was a friend that actually, he had a record cutter up in the cities and he could cut like actual records. So I had him cut, like I did one record of like, I think 50 copies. And we just like put that out as a little limited edition.
Sure.
It was a 4-inch little.
Oh, it's just a little guy.
Like, yeah, it was like super cool. So yeah, I've done those three records, I guess.
Okay, I don't want to, you know, to answer this question, but
I'll answer any question you have.
Okay, so how much does it cost to make a record then?
More than it should. It's a pain in the ass. It's like the actual like setup and all that. I want to say when we did it was like $600 or $700. To get it set up, to get like but that's like a company that was like good. Like there's like internet companies that will say they can print it, and then you get the record back, and you drop it on the needle, and the needle just goes straight through. Like you know when you put on a record and it just like skips because the grooves aren't cut right. There's companies all over the internet that'll do that, and there's a lot of them. This is actually a really good company, so I want to say the setup was like $600 or $700.
Okay,
I think. And then it was like $200 or $300 a record.
Oh, okay.
That's which isn't horrible. And you sell it for 10.
Oh, you only sell them for 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, probably now you could sell them for 15, but like, or 20 even maybe, but.
Do people actually buy those then from you? Or
they did. Yeah. They sold really well. I haven't printed one in like 10 years, probably. I want to do another one. But I haven't, I've just been booking gigs and doing other stuff.
Well, you know, and that I noticed that the records are kind of making a comeback a little bit just for the nostalgia.
Totally.
Obviously, just downloading on your phone is way more convenient, but Especially with the music you're playing, I feel like you should be listening to it on a record player.
You should be, yeah. No, I'm going to do a record. We want to do a record. I'm trying to figure out, I'm actually in the midst of like planning a record with like some other musicians, because the last two or three records I've done has just been me and a guitar, and I want it to be more special and like sure. have like some other musicians. So I'm planning on doing something over Christmas break, and probably put that out on vinyl. And then actually this week, I'm going to make some handmade, home dubbed cassettes.
Okay.
And I've got like, I went to Goodwill and got a cassette dubber, and like cassettes are also making their way back. And like,
are they really?
Yeah, totally.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good thing like, I kept all mine.
Yeah. I'm doing like mixed cassettes where like one side will be me and then the other side will be old records I like. And I'm just dubbing cassettes and I'm going to sell those at shows and we'll see how it goes. I've got a buddy that does a lot of gigs and he said that cassettes actually sell really well like nowadays. So I'm just
going
to, I mean, there's no barrier to entry. I literally went to our Goodwill. I bought a cassette player for, I think it was $12. And then they had a big mystery box of cassettes. And I'm just going to use all those as my blanks. And you know, the trick where you put the tape over the plastic. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think
where
so.
Where you just put, you know, the holes on the top of the cassette?
Yep.
If you just put a piece of tape over that, then you can dub on top of any cassette. Did you know that?
That I did not know. No.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. You can, like, I've got, like, the records cassettes I bought at Goodwill are, like, well, if there's Engelbert Humperdinck, I'll pull that aside and give it to you. But these are, like,
thank you,
you know, like,
that.
Garth Brooks cassettes and stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so I'm just going to, like, put a piece of tape over the top hole.
Okay.
And then it just acts as a blank, and you can record over it.
No kidding.
Yeah, so that's going to be it's really classy. I'm just going to cross out Garth Brooks' name and write mine.
No, Jack Norton featuring Garth Brooks.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. I like that.
And then the liner notes, I'm just going to type on my typewriter. Got a little Polaroid picture, put that in there.
That's awesome.
$10, handmade. That's my week. That's actually, I'm doing that this week. That's my, like, plan.
That's your goal for this week.
That's the goal for the, I have a really stressful job. I need to dub cassettes.
Yes, you do. Well, then my question next was going to be, where do you record at? Are you recording at home on a computer, or do you actually go to a studio?
A little bit of both. My wife is a composer and does a lot of music for films and television. And so,
oh, really?
She, okay. Yeah, so she has, like, a home studio. And knows how to make things sound really good. So like 90% of everything we do is at home.
Oh,
and like
awesome.
She has one of our rooms here is just set up like soundproofed and we just record there. There's a few times where we've gone, there's a studio in the cities we've gone to, and then there's a studio in Cannon Falls we've recorded it a couple times called Pachyderm. And that studio is pretty crazy. Nirvana recorded there. They're huge. What was the huge Nirvana album that like...
The one with the naked baby on it?
No. In Utero? Is that it? I think.
You would know more than I would.
I don't know. That Nirvana album, that huge... Like, I think they had... I mean, they obviously had multiple, but they recorded there, and now they have the mixing board that John Lennon used for Imagine.
Wow.
Is at the studio in Cannon Falls. And the studio's like in the middle of nowhere. It's like you drive through the middle of nowhere woods. It's like 3 or 4 miles outside of Cannon Falls, and you get there, and it's like... this like retreat center place that's
sure.
like a recording studio, and like John Lennon's mixing board is there. He used it for Imagine, which is pretty crazy. Nirvana camped there and made their record there. It's pretty freaking cheap to go record there. So we've cut two records there, and then there's a studio down in Nashville called Castle, which was it's designed like it looks like a castle. It was built in the 20s, and Al Capone used to like hide out there and like run. Like, it's so cool. But like everybody in the world has recorded there. And we had a buddy that was an engineer. So we got like dirt cheap prices to go record there after hours when no one was around, or at like 8 in the morning when no musicians wanted to be there. So we would record at Castle all the time. And that was super fun.
Like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Now, how many, I'm looking at your discography. How many have you recorded then?
I think I've got, I don't know, like 9 or 10 albums out now, but
nice.
Here, you can add a tiny bit to this.
I probably should.
Okay.
Yeah. But, my questions will be better.
Yeah. My answers will be better. I don't know, like 9 or 10, like albums of this music. And then the kids' music, we're just constantly releasing music for that too. So
that's, yeah, I'm just looking at, this is, yeah, the old school feel to it. That's for darn sure on these. That's really cool. Okay, so as we're starting to wind down, I got questions about, you brought a guitar. Is that a steel guitar?
It is a steel guitar.
Okay, because I don't see
it's
those.
Heavy as hell. Do you want to hold it?
Yeah, yeah,
you should hold it. Like, it's. I mean, it's not that heavy, but you know what I mean.
Just heavier,
like,
than a wood one, obviously. Oh yeah.
See what I mean? It's got like some, like.
If you are if you're listening right now, you should turn on over to YouTube, and that sucker is. This is like,
it's got
top
some
heavy
meat to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really now. Did you buy this brand new, or did you find it?
No, it's old. That's like, what's funny is I'm not exactly sure. Exactly. This is 30s. And probably 1934, 35 is what they think.
That's actually from
this part. Wow. Yeah. And then the neck, from what I can tell, the neck is new, I think.
Okay.
From what I can tell, like new meaning like the last 10 years probably.
Okay.
My hunch is that somebody busted the neck off and some luthier or somebody put a new neck on. But I could be wrong. But this part is definitely ancient.
Yeah.
Or kind of ancient. And then, like, but I found it at a guitar store in the cities like 5 years ago. And they're usually super expensive. And the dude was like, well, I can't really sell it as an old guitar. And I can't really sell it as a new guitar. And I've got it priced at like $300, but I'll give it to you for $250. And I was like, sure, like, why not? Like, so I've always wanted, technically it's called a national guitar, and I don't know if it really is a national guitar, but it's just this kind of monster that's like clobbered together.
So obviously it's supposed to sound different than
it's like, it's a hubcap.
Sure. Okay. It's a hubcap guitar. I love it.
Yeah. You know,
okay. So what's a national guitar? Is that just a brand?
Yeah, they were like, I mean, that's this you can see up there, but that's like, they were a brand that made these style of guitars. They made like, these were like Hawaiian guitars, and then the old like black blues guys realized these are louder than hell. And so when they were playing on the streets or in like juke joints and stuff, they all started buying these because they're super loud.
Sure.
And this was an era before amplification. So like, the louder you could be, the more tips you would make. You know what I mean? And so, I actually have to, like, if I want to, I can be super loud on this, like super loud, but I have to like kind of dial it back because it's like so abrasive. It's kind of a weird guitar, but I like it a lot. So,
okay, well, you already got it in your hand. Can you play a couple of your favorite songs?
I mean, I don't know how many songs you want to hear, but
maybe just like one or two of your favorite ones to play when you're out at some of the places.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can actually probably move this just slightly away from you.
Yeah, it's going to be louder than heck on your...
I'll dial her back here.
Okay, well, we were talking about old jazz, and this is a song called Everybody Loves My Baby, and this was written in 1924. And... they don't fully know who wrote it, but Louis Armstrong recorded this. Everybody loves my baby, but my baby don't love nobody but me. Nobody but me. Well, everybody wants my baby, but my baby don't want nobody but me. That's plain to see. She's got those plenty movements, 20 years guaranteed. No need for improvement, my sweet baby's built for speed. Everybody loves my baby, but my baby don't love nobody but me. Nobody but me. And then, of course, because it's Louis Armstrong and he plays the trumpet, you know?
Oh, sure.
You know, you got to do this. Everybody loves my baby, but my baby don't love nobody, nobody, nobody but me. Bah, 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 bah.
I love the trumpet. That was great. That was awesome.
For those of you that are not watching,
I was
actually holding the trumpet
and
playing guitar at the same time.
Yeah, and they should probably tune over to check it out.
Yeah, don't watch what we just filmed. Trumpet and guitar at the same time. How does he do it?
And drinking bourbon.
And, well, that's how he does it.
That's that's how he does it. What was another one of your favorites? I'll just have you do one more.
Yeah, yeah.
What's another one that is your favorite to play? Because that was a fast-paced, fun one.
Well,
plus, you had the trumpet in there.
I mean, you got to love the trumpet. Here's a good drinking song for you.
Perfect.
This is a good one. This is from, I've been able to trace this song back to 1880 in England. But you might know this one, you might not. But it's a good song. This is how I usually end my shows at brew pubs, which I'm kind of feeling right now. I mean, how much of this have we drunk? Kind of a fair amount.
About half of it.
You did good today.
I did good.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I'm going to be stumbling back home. Show me the way to go home. Do you know this song? I'm tired and I want to go to bed. I had a little drink about an hour ago and it went straight to my head. No matter where we roam, by land or sea or foam, you'll always find me singing a little song. Show me the way to go home. Doop-a-doodle da 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 do day. Da dee da dee oodle day. Da 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 dee. La da da dum. Da ba da dee da dum. No matter where we roam, by land or sea or foam, you'll always find me singing a little song. Show me the way to go. Show me the way to go. Show me the way to go home.
That's great. Hey! I love that. Well, you know, now that you heard.
You can point me in the direction. It's just that way to go home.
Not yet.
Not
yet.
You
just
stay
there.
I'm just telling you.
Oh, yeah. I can tell you which way. Now that you've heard him, he has tour dates coming up.
I do.
And let's talk about those quick before I let you go home.
Yes.
Because you have some coming up locally here in the Winona area, plus, you know, up in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And I see Rochester, Lanesboro. So let's talk about where we can hear this. This is fun music, I think.
Thanks.
That was a lot of fun. And it's not music you normally hear nowadays.
No.
So to hear it, it's cool. And live is even better.
It is. Yeah, it's fun.
So let's talk about some of these tour dates you got coming up. It looks like you're starting it off here. Well, Bruising Cruise podcast, I'm on here. So
you're on there. I mean, I figured I'd add you.
I love it. But it looks like October, it starts getting heavy.
October's heavy, yeah. Here in town, I'm on October 3rd. I'm at the High and Low at 7 o'clock. And then October 4th at Sippy's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then again in the cities, here on the 25th, I'm over at El Morro Vineyard in Trempealeau, which is just across the river for those of you that are willing to brave Wisconsin. It's okay for Minnesotans to go to Wisconsin, right? I mean, we'll be
people,
okay.
Everyone from Winona loves El Morro.
And then really exciting because on November 8th, that's a really exciting one. It's going to be a kids show, but it's at Two Fathoms Brewing Company. So I'm playing, I don't think it's on that website. It might be on my kids' website.
Yeah, probably.
But if you're a parent of a preschooler and you want to have a beer and listen to kids' music and bring your kids. I mean, it'll be a cool family thing. You know what I mean? It's a cool family event to do. So that'll be on November 8th. But yeah, coming up immediately, High and Low on October 3rd, Sippy's October 4th, and El Morro on October 25th.
That's awesome. And I see you got some of my, one of my wife and I's favorite brewery, which is Ursa Minor up in Duluth. You're going to be there a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been there before. Is that good? I've heard it's
awesome. We love it. So yeah. I hope it's great for you. But
I'm
we
sure
really love
awesome.
Going to breweries and wineries. That's
one
of our fun things. So you're going to be right around here. For those who are listening locally here in Winona, there's times you can actually come on down, see Jack, meet Jack, and have some fun. I have a feeling you're probably pretty interactive with the crowd, just by the way.
Yeah, I take a lot of requests. I mean, I do a lot of, like, I have, like, a iPad full of songs. So, back in the day, everybody always asked for Genie in a Bottle, and that's kind of my, like, go-to Christina Aguilera. Drop that in. I can do I Will Survive. Oh, killer version with a little bit of drunken yodeling in there. That's always good. Like Honky Tonk, I Will Survive, drunken yodeling.
That's awesome.
It's good.
That makes it fun though.
Yeah. No,
well, Jack, is there anything that we have not gone over that there,
I don't think so. This has been incredible.
Yeah, I'm glad.
I'm not leaving. Once we're done recording, I'm just gonna find a place to just live.
In here?
In here, yeah.
Well, we have a car back there. It's almost like a hearse. You can just lay in the back.
That's great. No, that's good. When I was a kid, my folks had a, God, what year was it? I think it was a 54 Biscayne. Would that be right?
Well, there's a Biscayne. 54? It's possible.
I don't remember the exact year, but it was like just beat to all heck. And it was in our garage. And I remember they were always like, oh, when you turn 16, this is your car. That didn't happen. But it was so cool to sit back. I mean, it was really destroyed, but I loved sitting back in that thing and just like hanging out.
Cars were big back then.
Yeah, it was so cool. Yeah.
Well, before I let you go, I'd like you to plug all the places that they can find you.
Yeah, thank you. No,
all the social medias, because I saw your website had a plethora of them. But if you want to just plug whatever ones you want, it's your call.
So I'm Jack Norton. The website is jacknortonmusic.com, and I try to make that my social. So basically, I think Instagram and TikTok is Jack Norton Music. I think Facebook is. Facebook used to be great. I had a ton of people on there, and then I got hacked. So now I have two people. I went from 22,000 to two, like, overnight.
Oh, gosh.
So that's awesome. So Facebook is kind of horrible, and they've done nothing to help. But, trying to build the YouTube channel. YouTube is Jack Norton Music, and it'd be awesome if people subscribe to YouTube. And that's kind of the big push is I'm doing videos at live shows. So like a song maybe at a live show. Then I'm also going to do a thing called a venue spotlight where I just go around and show people, hey, what's this brew pub like? What are the what's the bartender's favorite drink? Like just kind of like a cool little video. And then I'm also doing a weekly vlog on that channel too. So
that's awesome.
That'll be Jack Norton Music and website, jacknortonmusic.com.
Well, for those who are listening, I will plug that in the show notes. You can just go down, click on jacknortonmusic.com. It'll take you all to the other, whatever ones you use or subscribe to. You can go on the website and just click on it. It'll take you to any of those ones. Well, Jack, I want to thank you for coming in.
You're the best.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Drink. I want to give him a cheers. And we will see you guys next week. And Jack, we'll see you in town this next month.
Sounds like a plan.
Cheers.
Cheers, y'all.